All stations, all stations, all call signs. This is Wrecker Actual, over. Stand by for transmission. Prepare to copy. This is American Vindicta. All right. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to American Vindicta. Today we have on with us Mr. Robert Griswold of Ready Made Resources. Robert and I are going to be talking about communications, more especially radio communications, and then I'm going to be asking him some pertinent questions of what's the best options for us in certain scenarios of how to employ communications and what's some of the better equipment that's out there. Bob has an extensive amount of research in practical, applicable knowledge on this. You even went to college for this, if I'm correct, Bob. So it'll be good to actually be able to probe your brain a little bit, and let's see what answers we can come up with on communication. So, Bob, let's start it off. What do you got for us?
Well, if people just think about it for a minute, you know, why does everybody in China have to have a cell phone? So you can be tracked. Everything you buy, everywhere you go, how much time you spend there, how much time you spend on social media, what websites do you go to, who do you talk to, which is an extremely valuable piece of intel. Doug, what do they call it? Known associates. So if I see James, John, and Barry over and over and over again, and I'm suspected of doing something, guess who's going to get a knock on the door? James Bond and Barry, whatever. So this is the danger of this thing. It tracks you everywhere you go. It can be turned off. So you're expecting to have communication, and all of a sudden you don't have communication. The very media we're using right now, a computer, numerous things can go on with it. It's all done by a lot of it, satellite, fiber optics. A lot of times terrorists know where the fiber optic cables are buried. They even advertise it, don't dig here, fiber optics cable. So it just tells people where to dig if they're trying to do nefarious things. So Every mode of communication the average American has is compromisable. It's a network system. It has to go through a relay, a substation, a satellite, or something. So every American, except for the very few that have alternate means, are compromised as far as their communication. Doug, ask you a question back. You were a Marine, and all of a sudden, you're under fire and you go and don't have communication. How bad is that?
Well, that's really bad. We use communication for everything. I mean, from inner squad communication, telling my different team leaders where I would want them to move as when I was a squad leader, or, as a platoon, trying to tell your different squads where to move. From there, it can break down to medical evacuations, artillery strikes, air strikes. So all those things are pertinent, because if there's an incoming bird about to drop a JDAM, we kind of want to know when that's going to happen, right? So, I mean, comms is a big thing, especially for medical emergencies.
So you would say without comms, people will die.
It's a very bad day without comms.
Yeah, people are going to die. So going back to my original premise, if the Chinese, which are doing their social credit score, are using the cell phone to track you on everything you do in life, because Americans you buy on cell phone, you visit your websites on a cell phone, any political websites you visit on a cell phone, all that's done. So the government right now is developing a dossier on you, as far as your social credit score is concerned. And when the rule of law breaks down or the balloon goes up or whatever you want to call it, black swan event happens, they'll know who the compliant people are. I got this image. I don't know if you saw the interview with Ted Nugent the other day. They were asking him, what do you think of the people that got vaxxed? And he says, I can speak their language very well. Only like Ted Nugent could do this. He goes, I speak their language very well. And he goes, I'll tell them what I think about them. Bah, bah, bah. That Ted Nugent. So, I mean, if you're relying on this as your sole form of communication, I'm going to steal Ted Nugent's thunder, just to maybe a molecule of it. But, bah, bah, bah. Because it's going to fail you in the end. And if it, even if it is working, you know, you have to be suspect of it because, you know, you're being listened to, monitored, tracked in every way modern electronics will allow that to be done. So we have to look at alternate means of being able to communicate with people. Dead drops are one. I always like dead drops. They work real well. I'll go into that later on, how you can communicate with a dead drop. But, you know, the only means that I know of that the average American will have to communicate is with a walkie-talkie, a ham radio. You know, I've got one right here. You know, something like this Bofang. You know, nice thing about this Bofang, too, 24-7, it's going to make... I'm inside of a... I EMP shielded my rooms. So you're not going to... But again, this is the weather station, NOAA. You have 24-7 NOAA intel. Again, Dave, Doug, excuse me, on an operation, how important was weather intel to you?
Weather intel is actually very important for visibility and also for QRF and rescue. If the, especially let's just go ahead and say in Iraq, when the air was red, so that code word red means that you can't fly. It's too dangerous to fly. So if we had to have a medical evacuation, or if we had to be evacuated by helicopter for any means, the birds couldn't get to us. The air was red. Hence the same thing, Bob, flying through a hurricane.
Well, I had it a second ago.
But, you know, the weather permitting is really how you play ball on all fields. I mean, if it's a, and we'll actually get into that for the five threats to critical infrastructure. But in your mind, what does it mean for you for the weather and communications? Because for me, it's we're going back to infantry tactics. But for you, how does the weather affect communications?
Well, big question there, and I don't know which way to go. Atmospheric weather can affect communication a lot. Okay. Yes. Especially if you're operating on high frequency. High frequency is the frequency ham radio operators use to communicate around the globe. Atmospheric skip. Okay. That sounds like a fancy term, but all it does is it bounces off a certain layer of the atmosphere, comes down, bounces back up and down like a bouncing ball goes around the planet. If you throw a ball down on an angle, it's going to bounce up and come down further along, and it's going to bounce and bounce and bounce where it ends up, you know, a couple hundred yards away or something like that. Well, with ham radio and using high frequency, you can bounce that signal with the atmosphere in good condition around the globe. I've literally talked from teleco planes to people in Western Australia. I've actually talked with it was a FedEx cargo pilot flying over Nicaragua at 33,000 feet. I actually got his, you know, he sent me a QRP code. A QR code card. So I actually had that, you know, one of my special ones I get that I actually made that contact. So as far as that's concerned, you know, at different times of the day, you're going to get better skip and further distance. But, you know, that's what it means. But even on a smaller scale, if, you know, if let's just say we were doing a training course like we're doing, knowing what the weather conditions are going to be, and this is during times of peace when everybody's relatively safe. You know, knowing what the weather conditions are going to be are critical. How to dress, you know, how to dress is going to be monstrously important, especially if the rule of law breaks down and you might have to be doing stuff outside or go somewhere or meet somebody, you know, whatever clandestine thing you might have to do. You don't dress appropriately for it. That weather can definitely ruin your day, especially if you're dealing with extreme cold, extreme hot. How much water to bring, you know, what's the temperature there today, Doug?
That's only 108.
Yeah, 108. So with that, knowing that temperature amount, would that affect how much water you'd bring on something?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So that would come into consideration. Now, if you don't have that weather intel and you're just guessing, you are actually hindering yourself or making it less likely that whatever you're going to do is not going to succeed, because water will stop somebody quicker than anything. No water, you're going to stop. Absolutely. You can push through a little bit, But when the muscles start cramping up and, you know, you start shutting down because you don't have water and the electrolytes, you've sweat them out of your body. And so, you know, like I said, you get muscle cramps and so forth. That's where I would say for me, you know, that weather intelligence is critically important, knowing it. And like I said, on any of these ham radios from, you know, what like this to that 162.550 megahertz, that is NOAA 24/7, 365 weather report for your area.
Okay. I want to hit one more thing on weather. When the rule of law breaks down, depending on, you know, where you're upstream or upwind, let's say my friends that are west of me in the DFW area. So any of my friends are in the Abilene area that's west of me, about 3 hours west. If they had comms working and I have comms working and they could tell me within 3 hours, bad thunderstorm, hail, tornado, lightning, causing sporadic small fires. And I get that intel update. Is that not intel? Absolutely.
It's intel. Absolutely. It is.
I'd want to get the cattle put up. I'd want to get the animals put up, get my vehicles put up, get all that protected, because your assets are all that you have when society breaks down, or you're going to have to go and tactically acquire more assets because nobody's a thief. Everyone's just trying to get their stuff back. But, you know, intel will be a very big thing. And weather intel, once again, will be a very big thing. If there's a blizzard coming, you know, if it's only in the 30s or 20s today, and next thing I know, 4 or 5 hours down the road from me, there's a blizzard coming, and my friends can be able to tell me before the blizzard gets to them, and then all that communication is probably shut down, right, Bob, between me and them.
Well, let me ask you a question. You're a Texan. What was it, the 1920, 1914 hurricane in Galveston?
Oh, yeah. 10,000 people died.
Yeah, they didn't have satellites back then. They didn't have that kind of weather stuff back then. And all of a sudden, people were at the beach. It was a beautiful day, partying, having a good time. And this absolute monster hurricane came in, and thousands of people died.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go back pre-satellite, modern weather report, and you can find a lot of those kind of incidents where nobody had a clue what was going on, and all of a sudden some hurricane hit, and, you know, you ended up with a lot of dead people. So again, that's for me, the importance of weather communication, because I want to say this, most people, Doug, big things we sell, night vision and radios. The two reasons people don't do either of those, one for the radios, they're afraid. We're afraid to learn anymore. The technological challenge of learning some things, which it's not that hard to get some basic radio skills. The higher you go up, the more skills you want, maybe a little more studying and learning. Okay. But if you're letting fear keep you from, you know, exploring ham radio, getting a ham radio license, learning this thing, you really are saying, I don't want to learn how to shoot accurately. You know, I don't want to learn how to camp outside if it's cold. I don't want to know how to do cold weather camping. I don't want to look while I'm walking down the street. I don't mind running through the woods dark. You know, you're absolutely hindering yourself in critical manner. So this is why, you know, it is so critically important to do this and to learn it, to take it up, make it a personal challenge to where I'm going to say, I'm going to get a ham radio license, and I'll address that in a minute. You know, I'm going to address it now. A lot of people say, well, you know, if I get a ham radio license, the government will know I have it. Well, let me give you a ding, ding, ding moment, you know, McFly, ding, ding, ding. The government knows you better than you know yourself already. So don't be misled into thinking that if I get a ham radio license, it's going to put me on some extra special list. It would be added to your, you know, your social credit score, your online profile. But if you're already prepping, if you're already doing that, if you're already visiting websites, conservative websites, you know, if you're looking at conservative videos, if you're doing that, they already know. So don't let that intimidate you. And I do recommend everybody get a ham radio license. And the reason is, you know, I hear this argument all the time, and I'll let you address it in another matter. You know, I'm not going to get a ham radio license. When the crap hits the fan, I'll just use my radio without a license. Doug, that is like saying, you know, somebody came and said to you, Doug, I just bought an AR-15. Have you ever shot one before? No. Have you ever loaded it before? No. Have you ever cleaned it before? No. Have you ever tried to clear a jammed round? No. Well, what do you got? You go, well, when the crap hits the fan, I'm going to pull out of the box and use it.
No, you,
what would you, you tell me?
You bought someone an AR-15. That's what you did.
Yeah. You bought someone else an AR-15. That's precisely what you did. So if you don't have a ham radio license, you can't practice legally, and I mean functionally, without that license. And so the license gives you the ability to practice it. In some states, you're required to have a concealed weapons permit or even a permit to have a pistol. You can buy a pistol. You can bring a pistol into Massachusetts, but I think they have to register them up there or whatever. If you can own it, but try using it. If you need to have it registered, try using it. You fire off a magazine of 9mm and see what happens. Now, here in Tennessee, I could open my door right there and just sit there and take my AR-15 and blast away all day long, and nobody's going to bother me because we don't need any of that here in the free state of Tennessee. But it's the same way. If you think you're going to use a ham radio license, as soon as you go on those frequencies, people are going to start tracking you, monitoring you, and you're going to get a knock on the door. So you can't functionally practice no more than you can functionally practice a firearm without having the specifics of each state's requirements.
Hey, you
and
know,
it's not hard to get it.
I wanted to touch base on something real quick. For some reason, medical keeps getting brought up to my mind quite a bit because, well, if we're going to be honest, medical is the one thing no one is really squared away for, ever. Even the docs aren't. You know, you never have enough supplies. You never have enough manpower. And you never have the most perfect environment, especially when we're talking about like an austere environment. Medical is what's going to kill most people. So, you know, it'd be a really good thing, Bob, if you had an aid station. And I was, you know, 50 miles down the road from you, and I had an aid station. So we're living in two different towns, and you and I were able to communicate twice a week. Let's say, you know, Mondays and Fridays, we got on comms for about 10 minutes, and we talked about what new diseases we're seeing from my town compared to your town. How many different cases of, you know, polio, the plague, COVID, whatever, right? And then I could say, hey, I need such and such amount of medicine. Do you have such and such amount of medicine? This is what my patients are requiring. And you could be able to tell me no, but I can relay to the next aid station and see what they have. Now you've created a line of communication that could be stable and very beneficial to an entire community. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And 50 miles for a fairly unfit person is doable in a day. So with a bicycle, you could, it'd be a big haul, but, you know, people can do 100 miles in a day if they're really fit on a bicycle. But you know, you could use the bikes to go back and forth, even if you didn't have gasoline or anything else. So you that communication would allow you to minister to the needs of your fellow Americans that might be in dire need. And you could, you know, set up a barter system where you would swap products for products. So again, it's good, you know. The other thing, as I tell this to people all the time, okay, so I have my sat phone here. Okay, here's my sat phone. It's not a sat phone, but can I get intel off this sat phone? I can get a little bit, but the person who's talking to me can relay information. So that's all I can get. And again, I hate to bust the bubble of the sat phone people, but it is trackable, highly trackable. A lot of terrorists wish they hadn't turned one on because a big old JDAM dropped on their head as soon as they turned it on. And it's again, it goes through a satellite. The powers that be will know who you are, because there's a tracking number for that satellite. So it knows how to bill the minutes, bill the time. So there's a lot of misstatements out there about these sat phones, which, you know, they do have a purpose, but it's only person to person. I've used them, and they in the right circumstance, they are very good to have. But it does not afford you the ability of what maybe a ham radio will allow you to have. It does other things. I mean, I could call anybody on the planet with a sat phone, and that's nice. But during times of crisis, the government can turn it off, and EMP could turn it off. There's a dozen reasons why you might not be able to use your sat phone, because I can promise you, during a time of national crisis, the government is going to restrict who can communicate and what devices they can use to communicate with. And sat phones will be on the top of the list to say, turn off the civilian side of the sat phones.
In regards to an electromagnetic pulse attack, low yield, high yield, it doesn't matter. A grid down attack. You know, it's the first thing that they cut? Comms.
Yeah,
of course. First thing, every time.
Both times when we went into Iraq, that's what we did. We used a small yield EMP weapons to turn them off, and we bombed communication centers. We wanted to blind them, and that's exactly what we did. So, you know, I use that example a lot. Rule of law breaks down, and you're trying like crazy to call your wife, and, you know, it doesn't work. You're panicking real quick. Now, if she's anywhere within about 50 miles and you had just even this little Bofang, both of you have your license, you have this Bofang, you can communicate with each other. There's relays around the country you can use. Without a relay, you know, it's going to be maybe 5 miles, but with this handheld. So if she's just out and about 5 miles down the road, you can talk with her and set up a plan. Know that she's okay. But, you know, that's why I'm such a big proponent of ham radio. Plus, there's a lot you can do with it that you cannot do with other forms of communication. And, you know, maybe we could just get into them. The types of radios, you know, basically, like I said, they come in all shapes and sizes. This is a $70 Bofang radio. These are really good. You can buy a lot of them. If you get the UV5, you can get them for $25-$30 a piece. So you could buy, you know, 10 of them for $300. That you can do a lot of good in the neighborhood and a neighborhood community watch program. After the rule of law breaks down, you could be handing those out to people. You know, $30 is not a lot of money. So that's one of the things I recommend. I also recommend, it comes with a 8-inch antenna. This is a 16-inch antenna. So you put the bigger antenna on and you basically double your gain. Also, I can hook any kind of antenna up if I want to this because the antenna does come off. And so I can put a big aerial on this thing and really make it, a nice radio to go 50 to 100 miles. So that's the nice thing about it. It doesn't take a lot of money to do that. My personal preference is they're a little bit bigger. I like the Harris. This is a Chinese knockoff of a Harris radio. This actually has encryption on it. So if you have two of these radios, it's a basic inversion encryption so that, you know, it's not going to fool anybody that has sophisticated equipment, but Billy Bob or all your neighbors aren't going to understand what you have to say. So you're going to know you're secure in your communication. This is really, really waterproof. Nice thing about it, it's a 12 volt battery. So if push came to shove, I could rig this up to a car battery. The other ones are like 3.5 volts. So you can't do that with that. And, you know, that's what I use right there for my communication. Nice thing is Tactical Tailor makes a molly bag for it, so you can carry it on your LBV. You can get a one for your Bofang also.
Now, I had these. We use these for inter-squad communications in Iraq, but also used them in law enforcement, and that was the Motorola XTS. This is the old 3000 model. I was able to go on eBay. I picked 10 of these up for $600 with the big charging station that'll charge, I think, like 6 batteries at one time or 6 radios at one time. But, you know, this is still limited compared to that Harris. This is a very, very limited piece of communication, and it's still line of sight. You know, even though this is a more expensive radio, this is still just line of sight. You know,
yep. All radios work on line of sight except for HF high frequency. Mm-hmm. So that is the one limitation that you're going to have is line of sight communication. Now, with that can be good. You know, everybody always asks me, how much power does it have? Well, you know, if I'm shooting a squirrel, do I want to drop a JDAM on them? I don't need to. I mean, it'll kill it. You'll find it. So if I'm out on my ranch and I have this 1, 4, or 8 watt radio, I cut it down to 1 watt. I don't want to transmit. I don't want to make a big footprint. I want to make a very small footprint, bigger footprint, more people listen. So this gives me the ability to turn the power way down. Same thing with the Harris radio. It gives me the ability to turn the power way down, so I'm not making a big footprint. And believe me, you don't want to do that, because how easy it is to direction find a radio signal is fairly easy. So, with that said, word to the wise, cut your power down as low as you can get it. The radios that you buy at Walmart or Wally World or, you know, whatever, the those work on two different sets of frequencies, MERS and GMRS. And those, they say on the box, like 36 miles, up to 36 miles. But yeah, if you were approaching the space station, you know, with nothing in between, no air, nothing vacuum, you might get 36 miles. But on planet Earth, the average person's going to get about a half a mile. Doug, can you see where that would really become valuable? Not only limiting, if you're in a small community and you want to limit your communication, that half a mile is very, very important. Nice thing is about those MERS and GMRS radios is you can't take the antenna off. It has a little stubby antenna, and they do that on purpose so that more people can use it without stepping on each other. Because just a key here, don't do it. If you hold that transmit button down on a certain frequency, you're restricting that frequency. You've blocked it out. Nobody else can use it. You can actually jam people. If you know somebody's operating, say, on a certain frequency, and you know they're giving instructions to other people and they're using a 5-watt radio, if you take a 15-watt radio and turn it on that frequency and key the mic, you're going to block that person. You're going to jam them out.
So, you know, if you had to create a little base, a little forward operating base, and you had posts set up, so a post is where, you know, two people would be sitting at and they'd be guarding a certain sector of the perimeter of your base. It wouldn't hurt to have those little small Cobra radios.
No, okay. They'd be great.
Yeah.
Be great, so, to have,
from there, if you're in the convoy or foot patrol that's going out and you're having to press out forward, you want something a little bit more powerful.
Correct. You want to be able to do that. And the nice thing about the ham radio is, I can take a larger antenna and you take a piece of fishing line or something and throw it over a tree limb, tie the antenna to it, raise it up 30, 40 feet, and then hook it up to a ham radio. Because remember, we can take the antenna, you can take it off, and I can hook up that other one that's 30, 40 feet in the air. And you know what I've just done? I've increased maybe the distance this thing will transmit 3 or 4 times. So a very simple procedure. In my comm bag, I carry a line of monofilament, 100-pound monofilament with a lead sinker. I can just go throw it up over a tree limb 30, 40 feet in the air and then hoist my antenna up. And, you know, I've just increased my ability to communicate dramatically. But going back to the GMRS radios and the MERS radios, the reason I recommend people get those, is because they only transmit a half a mile. Now, here's a piece of intel that you get from when people are using them. So if I hear Janie down the street talking on her MERS radio, no problem. But if I hear a strange voice talking on a MERS or a GMRS frequency, what do I know, Doug? And they transmit a half a mile. I've got neighbors that I don't know.
Yep.
And they have at least one level of sophistication. They can communicate. I can also listen to what they're talking about. You know, if I hear, you know, yeah, Doug, let's go out and get some possum tonight with our hound dogs. You know, you're going to think, okay, Billy Bob, you know, just give him some Bud Light and he'll be happy.
So I want to throw in another little piece of tactical training here for people. Scribes, radio scribes. So it's always best to have two radio scribes, and I'm going to give you a reason why. Let's go back to this little scenario that you and I've created with our little operating base, Bob. Bob, if you were the chief in charge of our radio communications, I would tell you that I want you to have two radio scribes at all times. One is monitoring and communicating with everybody. So if post two says that the lights are flicking on and off, okay, then my radio scribe can say at this point in time, at this day, post two is having power failure. Now we can tell the engineers, go check out post two, right? And we'll know if it's during the heat of day or at night, we'll know also, that'll give us a little bit of intel as well. But on the same time, you're going to have a guy who's going to be doing nothing but just listening. And he's the guy who is listening for all of our friends around us, all of our neighbors, and writing down as much intelligence that is coming across as possible.
Doug, explain what a salute report is.
Size, activity, location, unit, time, equipment. Man, I can't remember if I remember that.
Explain that. Explain it to people.
So with a salute report, what we want to do is we want to know, like, if there's an enemy unit or an unknown force out there, we want to try and see how many people there are, okay? So that's the size part. Then we want to know the activity. What are they doing? Are they on patrol? Are they fixing a vehicle? Are they going through people's houses? That's us listening to the communications from them, but also listening to the communications of other people that may be watching them and talking back and forth. So now we're getting second, third hand information here. You know, the location, obviously, that's a given one. Wherever the location is, we'd want to try and zoom in on that. We want to try and focus in on them, see what they're doing. You know, maybe there is a military unit. If it's a known unit, that we can at least try and liaison with them and, you know, reach out and say, hey, you know, Echo One, this is Echo Two. Is that you 500, you know, yards in front of post four? Flick your IR light three times, you know, but if we say, because you never, you know, really tell people what you're doing, Bob, if I say, you know, flick your IR light three times on your MVGs, it's probably going to be four or five times, right? Because you'll have little built-in codes that way people will always know. Yeah, go ahead.
Going back to the GMRS radio, so you hear Billy Bob, you're not as worried, but being a military guy, if you heard, you know, Unit 5 moved to Alpha location, 1430 hours, join up with Bravo, you know, if you started hearing talk like that, is that different? Are you going to handle that intel differently than you're going to handle Billy Bob talking about chasing some coons up a tree?
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. That's why, again, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, the purpose of intelligence gathering is exploitation. That's why you do it. Every time you buy something on Amazon, they do exactly that. They've gathered your intel, your email address, phone number, address, all those things. Not only do they sell it to anybody who wants it or however they do it, you know, however they sell their information, but you'll start getting all kinds of, you know, advertisements on all social media concerning that because you've been exploited. Everybody does it, you know, from picking a wife to anything you want. It's all about, you know, the thing of intel. You know, I want to know if I'm thinking about marrying a woman. I want to know if she's a cook. Can she do this? Is she domestic? What's she like? Because you use that information on making decisions. And without radio, and this is where satellite phones, you can get information from one person, but this is where radio, it serves such a wide thing because I can listen to people talking around a wide spectrum of communication and gather all that intel. And you're talking about scribes, how important it is. That's the other thing I have in my comm bag. Pencils, I don't want pens. I have write in the rain pads because I don't want paper that's going to dissolve if it gets wet. I don't know if you know what a write in rain pad is. I know Doug does, but it's waterproof paper you can write on. And with a pencil, you know, have ink problems or something to that effect. So I write down everything. Like I said, what color, what kind of clothing are they wearing? You know, if they're wearing multicam, what do they have? Can you see any weapons? What time of the day is it? All that starts to paint an intel picture so that you can respond. Going back to the little bitty radios, like I said, you know, if you hear, you know, military type jargon on a radio, that can only transmit a half a mile versus if you hear, you know, some redneck up there talking about what he's going to do with his hunting dogs, you're going to handle that information differently. It's just like this, Doug. And I would never stoop so low to use this phrase. But if I said, Doug, yeah, I'd love to go out with you tonight, but my old lady's griping at me and I got to get home or, you know, there'll be hell to pay. Okay. What have I told you? I told you I was married. I told you I don't like her very much. I told you basically if she got run over with a Mack truck, I wouldn't care. You know, I've told you I think of her in a despairing manner. I've given you intel about that relationship. Could I exploit that? It's a lot harder to exploit because if she got killed, I probably wouldn't care. I want to, you know, I'm just sick of her. So on the other hand, if it was you or I and people were listening and we were, I'd say dumb enough to say this, but you know, Doug, I got to get home tonight. My bride and I are going out. We love our date nights, and you know, we just we got sitters for the kids. You know, we just enjoy this together, and it's really been a key in making our marriage work so well. Man, I've just given a wealth of exploitive information away. I have children. Can you exploit somebody's children if you're a bad guy? Absolutely. Absolutely, you can exploit it.
And you're not there.
Yeah. He has a female he really loves. Can I exploit that? Absolutely, I can exploit it. Kids, plural. I mean, all kinds of names. You gave a name. You can spoof somebody. So your wife's name's Teresa. You know, I can use that information. So this is why I tell people the purpose of communication, 99% of it is to listen. Don't talk, listen. And it's so hard for Americans to do this. Anybody's ever done an operation before or a sting operation or whatever, they're generally extrovert type people. They like to talk because it takes a certain kind of personality to do that kind of work. So, you know, and it's hard. You got to shut up and let the other person talk. And that's what you want. You want the other person talking so you can write all that down. You talked about scribes. It is absolutely everything. What color shirt? Anything. If they say anything that has information in it, you know, I like Danner boots. I write it down. He likes Danner boots. You know, my favorite color, you know, I like chocolate. It doesn't matter. I'm going to start writing that down because over time it's going to, you know, you've interrogated people. It presents a profile of that person. And so, you know, that's why the purpose of intelligence gathering is exploitation. And I'll say that. And this is where if it was really clandestine or if I really had to be secure, I would never transmit from my house. I would communicate and move. And I ask people, what is your most exploitable asset when you're on the radio? Well, it's your voice. So let me show you here. I recommend everybody have this on their cell phone, because if you don't want your voice used, see, that's a text-to-speech program. I'll do it again so people can hear it.
Your voice is your most exploitable asset.
All I have to do is type something in there, and it will repeat it. Here's another one.
The purpose of intelligence gathering is exploitation.
So, if especially with a woman, because rule of law breaks down, I'm sorry to admit this, guys think a certain way, especially fallen men that don't have scruples, which we see a lot of today. We have a pornography addicted society, and we have a violence addicted society. I just, you know, that new Barbie movie, from what I understand, there's even little girls in the movie. We don't want to get married while they're bashing little dolls' heads on the concrete. You know, it's violence. And so we have this society today that's addicted to this pornography. And I'm not talking about the pornography, you know, of the 1960s or 70s. This is satanic, demonic, evil beyond imagination type pornography, child pornography to begin with. It's that should tell you everything. So you have a large percent of population out there that views that type of material and, you know, that is violent by its nature, but it watches other forms of violence and they get into it. And we all both know violence is addictive. Ted Bundy admitted that he got when he would go out and kill a woman, he would get an absolute high over just the torment of doing it. And we see that with a lot of serial killers, the thrill and the addiction they get to having violence. And so if you're a woman and you start talking when the rule of law breaks down, you better be careful. Because first of all, I can pretty much guess your age. You know, that's a young woman. You know, we don't need to go there to know where we need to go. But, you know, that's very, very exploitable. Each program, which you can download on your cell phone. That one I forgot. It was a freeware, and I paid like $3 or $4 to get all the commercials off of it. And do that. So, again, be very, very careful when you're using radio communication that you don't give away information you don't want to give away. I'd rather have somebody else have them give me their information that I can exploit than me giving them information that they can exploit back. Any comments, Doug? Your voice is off.
Hey, I want to talk to you about some threats to the critical infrastructure in regards to radio communication and just communication in general. So I'm going to throw some of these things at you, and let's talk about how this could affect communications and how we could do a workaround. All right. So these are the three classes of threats to critical infrastructure. So we have natural. Natural is going to involve earthquakes, tsunamis, land shifting, volcanic eruptions, and extreme weather events like hurricanes, floods, and droughts and fires. All right. So let's break them down section by section. Earthquakes.
Again, during the recent earthquake in Turkey, communications was only available through ham radio.
And that's right.
Survivors were reported. Ham radio operators around the world were transmitting information in and out of areas that were catastrophically devastated. I'll jump to the next one for you. Fire. About 4 or 5 years ago in Tennessee, up in Gatlinburg area, we had massive fires. Cell phone towers burnt down, landlines burnt down, and so people didn't have communication. So just imagine, you're in an area, your cell phone's not working, the fire's coming your way, you need to get rescued, your landline's not working, or you don't have one. You have ham radio, and you jump on and you do an SOS type thing, and that, give your location. That ham radio just saved your life. In critical infrastructure, anything, Doug, that is a networked system, meaning that has to go to point A through a relay, through a transmitter, through a satellite to get to point B, is vulnerable.
So what about tsunamis? Because we can now be talking about maritime communications and also communications on land, right?
Yes. Now, a maritime tsunami, if you're out at sea, you probably won't even know one went by you, or you'll, because that's not the way it works. It's only as it comes into shore do you start getting that, that buildup of water. But, maritime communication operates on its own separate frequencies. You can still use Bofang radios out there, but. I don't have much specialty out on water using radio, but it works the same way. And I'm going to get in trouble right now because I'm going to irritate the flat earth people. I'm going to make it real simple. The earth is round. Okay. it's not flat. It's round. So if I'm on that round globe, and I am using line of sight communication, I'm going to walk over the horizon completely in about 17 miles. 5 miles to start to lose it. So without a repeater, you're not going to get much more distance than that. Is just that 17 miles. So this is the necessity of a repeater. Or now, if I'm using HF, I'm shooting the signal straight up, bouncing off the ionosphere, coming back down, and doing, and that goes around the globe. So I don't need anything, but, for a non-network system, I'll have about, max of about 17 miles. Now, again, this is why I want to raise that antenna up higher and higher, because it's line of sight. So the higher it goes, the further my line of sight. I've been fortunate enough. I mean, you've been in an airplane. You can see if you're 30,000 feet in the air, you have almost hemispheric line of sight. You have a long, long way line of sight. So that's why that, pilot in Nicaragua at 33,500 feet, we could communicate because he had line of sight to me. The International Space Station also has amateur ham radio on it. And from time to time, they use it and talk to ham radio operators. And, when you're up, 300 miles and you do have hemispheric things. So that line of sight is very important. But again, if you're going further than that 17 miles, you're going to have some way of repeater or some type of network system to make that signal go further than that.
All right, let's talk about volcanic eruptions. And we'll be specific in this scenario, and we'll talk about the Yellowstone supervolcano eruption. And the worst case hypothetical is if that damn thing blows, we're all screwed. But absolutely. Let's talk about the type of interruption that ash and the static in the atmosphere can cause in radio communications. And based off of your working knowledge, how far after, let's say the explosion and the ash has fallen down, how far do you think that could disrupt communications? Could it split the West Coast to the greater interior?
It could shut up if it's really bad and you're in ground zero and you have a lot of volcanic ash coming down. The enemy of a radio signal is matter. Anything, a mountain, a wall, a tree, house, you know, dust, anything that gets in the way of that signal is going to interrupt or degrade that signal. So volcanic ash would definitely degrade that signal. If you had something like that, I would say probably within 100 miles of that event, you're not going to get any kind of communication out. And as you further you get away and the less ash there is, atmospherics would be in a lot of lightning too. You would have, it'd be problematic depending on how much ash there is and the size of the event and so forth. I mean, you know, Doug, there's things we can't plan for. I mean, you know, I can have radiation meters. I can have, you know, bomb shelters. I can have potassium iodate. I can have nuclear biological chemical suits. But if that atom bomb lands on top of me, it doesn't matter how much of that stuff I have. I'm dead. It's the thing of percentages. The better prepared you are with radio communication, the greater your chance to survive and help those around you. There will be communication if you did have a catastrophic event like that, and that is a catastrophic event. Should the Yellowstone Basin blow up again, it would be a global event, and you know, you might not get information directly out of Yellowstone, but you could hear what other nations are saying about it and start to put together an intelligence picture on it. And again, you talk about scribes. This is where it's so important to write stuff down. Write it all down, everything down, time, date, stamp it, everything about that intelligence, write it down. That's why, again, I promote so strongly having an intelligence manual that you record your events, that, you know, like the 18,000 cows that died, what date, what was the circumstances. You write that down. That way you have a reference to go back to, because we can't all remember every detail like that. But if you write it down, you can go, oh yeah, I took notes on that. Da, 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 da. Here it is. This is the circumstances around that event. And, you know, you're better able to work through the problems that event's going to pose if you have good intel. It's just critically important. And other things too, you know, people want to take these radios and they want to program them. Now, if you're just talking to Billy Bob down the street and you want to program them, that's fine. Okay. But, you know, Doug, what's it worth if Al-Qaeda or somebody in Afghanistan or Iraq, the enemy, found one of your radios with all the programming in it? What's that worth to them?
A lot.
A lot. I mean, you don't want to do that. In the military, they do. If I was going to go out, let's just say, you know, rule of law broke down, you were at my house and we were going to do a patrol, you wanted to have that scribe writing stuff down inside the house, we would have what's called PACE, a PACE set. And PACE is an acronym for primary, alternate, contingency, emergency, different frequencies that we hop around on. So if I think frequency one has been blown, I can just switch to alternate. And that way we'd switch to alternate. Don't program all that stuff in your radio. It's just too easy to have your enemy exploit that information. The purpose of intelligence gathering is exploitation. Leave the radio blank. So if you drop this, lose it. And we have training sessions. People lose magazines. People lose radios. People lose pieces. They lose it. And, you know, it's a battlefield acquisition for somebody else. But if you have all that programming in there, I know exactly where to listen. I know exactly where to go to.
And you know what, Bob? There's another thing. Law enforcement, we have programmed radios for obvious reasons. And one of the times that I was in Portland, one of our special agents, in the middle of a big, big brawl, we were making a lot of mass arrests, and one of our guys lost his radio in the mass arrest. And Antifa ended up picking up, because we went back out and we went to go and try and find it. And, you know, this, we're talking about probably about a $5,000 radio, plus who knows how much programming that talks to local, state, federal, different entities. Yes. We have the ability to kill the radio remotely. Okay. You probably don't have that ability.
No. Yeah. They're not going to have that ability. This radio here has that ability to zero it out. Just push certain buttons and it zeros out. Now, but I can't do that remotely. I can do it if I thought I was going to get captured, I can do it, you know, there, just zero sum it out. Yep. But yeah, again, primary, it's just PACE, P-A-C-E. Alternate, so we switch to alternate. Contingency, I want to also have a visual signal. What is it, a VF-17 flag? It's a signal flag. Any kind of signal flag that I can hold up. You don't even have to transmit it on the radio. Going to emergency, and you're looking for a chartreuse color flag. So it's me. That way you know. But again, if you've burnt through primary and alternate, contingencies, diddy mao time. Get out of there. You have people that have the ability to exploit radio very quickly, and you want to get out of there. That's the importance. And every time that PACE frequency, those PACE frequencies change. I never leave them the same. They change every single time. So if I go out in the morning, you and I come up with some PACE frequencies. If I go out in the evening, we come up with some PACE frequencies. And that way, it's harder for to be exploited as far as what I'm using. Also, authentication. Now, this is there's dozens of ways of authentication. This is one that Brushbeater shows. And I get a lot of it from Brushbeater, what I'm talking about. You can go to brushbeater.org and look it up. He has some excellent courses. But you can see this. Can you read that, Doug? Combat help.
Yep.
And then underneath that, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. You notice there are no repeating letters there. You don't see two E's. You don't see two T's. So if you had, and you can look up 10-letter words on the internet, and they'll give them to you. But they can't have any repeating letters. So you can't have any, you know, two B's or two alphas or two tangos. But if I use this and I have it, you know, just on my little scribe pad. And my first thing is I said, Doug one, this is Bob one, please authenticate. And I said, please authenticate combat 3, tango 8. You would give me the reciprocal. So you would say, if I can remember this, you say 1. Mike, I think I did 7, but you know, you get it. I would just do the invert of that. So if I give you, you know, if I just make it easy, said, you know, please authenticate combat Oscar Mike Bravo, you would read back 1, 2, 3, 4. Now you wouldn't want to do it that simple, but you can have 4 or 5 of those in a notepad where you just authenticated. So I know it's really Doug Thornton. And you've authenticated yourself to me. Another thing I would do is use offset codes. When I traveled and I'd call back and would tell my wife where I'm at, we would always have a calendar out there where I would put a positive negative value to the time, a positive negative value to the date, even a positive negative value to maybe a room number of a hotel I was in. And so she would have those numbers written down. I would have them. So if I said, you know, on a certain day, 1400 hours, she'd look at that calendar and it says add 2.5 hours to it or take 2.5 hours off. She would do that. Same thing with my room number or my the time or date. You know, that way, you know, I'm giving out information. She totally gets it. My wife totally gets it. But anybody listening is going to show up at a party that doesn't exist, at least at that time and date. So, you know, giving an offset with time and date is very, very important. I use it a lot. It was very handy. Nice to have that little thing in my, you know, black bag of tricks. I have to say this. Most of the stuff we're talking about right now is not legal to use right now. When the rule of law breaks down and, you know, the zombies are out eating people, I don't care at that point. I'll use whatever. Code speech is not legal on ham radio. And I do want to say that as a disclaimer. Code speech is not legal on ham radio. So any of the stuff we're talking about, you can't use it in normal times, but it does work. If you really want to get sophisticated, and maybe we can do this next course, I can show people how to use a one-time pad generator. Antifa is using these one-time pad generators right now. One-time pad code is a completely unbreakable code. Nobody on the planet, NSA, nobody can break, if it's done properly, a one-time pad code. And so you can write code to people. It's a little laborious, but it's you absolutely know you're going to be giving out information that nobody is going to be able to violate. Again, Brushbeater does this where he gives us our instructions in the morning with a one-time pad code, and we have to decipher to figure out what we're doing. It's kind of a fun thing to do.
Hey, Bob, so, I got a question for you. We have some listeners who actually own bunkers, and I would like to try and give a better source of a communication solution for those who, you know, when it hits the fan, they decide to go underground or into caves or into caverns, places underground. Is that going to change how you use the radio going underground?
You have to have an antenna going outside. It has to be a properly length antenna. You can't just string out a piece of wire and hope it works. You're going to burn up your radio if you do. For people who have bunkers, I pulled this one out. This is one of my prize radios right here. This is called a TBR-119. You'll see it when you go up to Jamie. Jamie just got one. This radio does it all. This is why I like it. As you can see, it's very robust. It has the battery's not on it. It has a battery pack that goes on it. Waterproof. You can actually pretty much drive a car over top of it. It's that robust. And it has direction finding. It has Sengars, frequency hopping, uses code AES 256 encryption. Those are extra modules you have to get. But, I mean, this radio pretty much does it all. It hits all frequencies that I would ever want to use. And so for the guy who has a bunker, you know, he probably has a few dollars as far as means. I really, really like this TBR-119 radio. It's just one thing. Another one too, I don't sell this one, but I really enjoy it. This is Russian made. Okay. This is a fantastic radio. It's made by, Lab 599, and you can go and look at it. This is a shortwave radio. I can put this thing in my pocket and I can transmit around the globe with it. So if you, you know, just imagine if you had a comms bag, you can take this thing and have a little antenna, battery pack, and you can do what you need to do with it.
Now, what type of battery does that one take?
It just uses a 12 volt battery. I use, let me see here. This is kind of big. I have ones that are a lot smaller than this in my comms bag. It might be, you know, but I can just plug it right into either an Anderson or a standard jack and power it. Also, wherever I go with that in my comms bag, I have a solar panel, so I can solar charge it in the field. And that gives you a mobile radio communication station that is mobile, global in its reach, and you can recharge it in the field. All this stuff like these are all waterproof batteries. That radio is waterproof, so it doesn't matter if it's getting rained on. And, you know, I can talk to whoever I need to talk to. So these are just some of the things and reasons why I stress this so much, Doug, because your enemy is having it. Your enemy, let's just say leftists right now, are training with radio. They're training with one-time pad codes. They're training with the Bofang radios. They're listening. They know how to gain intel. A lot of them are ex-military people, so they have this background. And if you're not doing it, you're really setting yourself up for failure. I mean, catastrophic failure. It would be like, you know, coming to a knife gunfight with a knife. You know, you don't want to do that. And it'd be worse than that because you wouldn't even have the knife. That's why, you know, I push the night vision and the communication so much. Now the night vision is people, you know, good night vision there. It's always the price. But even if for one group had one night vision, it's the same thing. It gives you a critical advantage. One person with a radio gathering intel can save a neighborhood. You know, if we had a neighborhood watch on steroids and you were listening to radio and you heard that there was some, you know, gang coming down the street, you're in your area. You can either know that through how clear the signal is. You can direction find the signal. If you have two radios, you can vector it in on a map, so you can pretty much figure how far away they are, and obviously the direction, and know that. So again, this is why I promote this so strongly, because I will say this, and I say it pretty matter-of-factly assured. If you don't have communication, if you don't have night vision, and you have tons of food, you have a lot of guns and all that, somebody else is going to own them. You're not going to keep them. Somebody that has any training at all with night vision and communication is going to wear you down and make you fatigued, tired, make mistakes, and they're going to eventually take what you have. This is the importance of training. Again, you know, Doug offers just training courses. active shooter. I'm going to be doing a little radio segment in it, but we're also going to have Steve Rise there doing his medical again. You can choose not to go. Say, well, I'd rather, go to vacation or something for $850. I don't know where you'd go for $850, but you can make that decision. But we all see that the rule of law in this country is breaking down. It's breaking down by the day. I mean, it starts at the top and works its way down. I mean, you go to these liberal cities, murderers are let go, rapists are let go. Nobody's prosecuted unless you're, you have some liberal or conservative bent to you. Then they throw the book at you. So the rule of law is breaking down. People no longer respect property. They no longer respect life. And it's fairly easy to see this. And I would just say, plan accordingly. If you think you don't need that radio communication, you better be on the moon because somebody will find you. You're going to give a signature of some sort out. They're going to have address records. They can go down to the county hall and get address records. They could have downloaded satellite imagery. I mean, you can do that right now. You could download all the satellite imagery of your neighborhood, of what's there. And, just think how valuable that intel would be if some bad guys had it and they wanted to use it against you. Oh, there's a house down the street. Here's a satellite picture of it. Two outbuildings, and a main house. So, if they're doing that, you're going to hear it on a radio. They're going to be talking about it most likely. And you can exploit that. You can, I always love the Battle of Midway. For those of you who don't know the Battle of Midway, it was the naval battle after Japan had attacked the United States at Pearl Harbor. They were going to set up to attack Midway, which is in between, right in the middle of the Pacific. And they would figure, that they would draw once they attacked it, they would send the three carriers that did not get destroyed at Pearl Harbor to Midway to rescue it. And they would walk into an ambush. But because they had a good intel officer, Rochford, I think was his name, he had deciphered the Japanese code. He deciphered it. And so, Halsey set up that ambush. And instead of the Americans being ambushed, the Japanese were ambushed. And, we sunk four of their carriers that day. And the whole battle in the Pacific Ocean changed that day. Some people say go so far as to say Japan lost the war that day, and based on intelligence. That's how important it is. So I agree with it. Japan lost the war that day because of intelligence. We had better, and they didn't know it.
Bob, can you give people your number and contact in case they want to buy on the radios or call and ask you what type of radios you would recommend for them?
Well, again, I always try to find out what they're trying to do with the radios. If they're just trying to, manage a small homestead, 10, 20 acres, a certain set of radios will work for you. If you want to use that to communicate with people on your homestead. If you are really serious about thinking the rule of law is going to break down, I would step up the game and get at least some of those Bofang radios where you can listen. You can listen on MERS, GMRS, and the two ham signals. You can also listen to NOAA. They just came out with a new one that actually picks up the 220 band. And so that's another band of radio that you can pick up. Not a lot of people have that capability. So if I was going to transmit, I might think about using 220 because, most radios don't have that on there. Most ham radios just have the UHF, VHF frequencies on there. So I would go with that. But those are still all below $80. And if I wanted to get even more specific, I would go to HF where I could talk and receive globally. I could listen to people all over the country, which I think is especially valuable information. And that's good. Then they stepped up your game because you're going to be in a couple thousand bucks to do that correctly. But that radio, the one I showed you is my love radio. That's a little over $2,000. But it just gives me so much ability to listen. It has a software defined radio in it, which means I can actually see his little oscilloscope screen in the radio. I can actually see where people are transmitting, see the signal strength of where they're transmitting, and I can spin that dial right there and go there. So I can see, I don't want to be scanning through blank, nobody transmitting frequencies. So as soon as somebody hits that key, I'm going to see that spike in that little oscilloscope screen, shortwave defined radio, and I'm going to pop right over there and listen to what they're saying. But if they want to get in touch with me, that was answering the question the long way. I'd want to know what they're trying to do. But if they want to get in touch with me, readymaderesources.com, or you can call me on my office phone, 800-627-3809. I can give you more specifics on this as you go on. I do want to mention the course we're having in October. I'll let Doug give the dates. But this is something, folks, if you're not training, you're losing, because your enemy's training. They're training. I don't know if somebody can, but Jamie Walton still has room at the Warrior Summit. And I think this Friday it starts, doesn't it, Doug?
Yeah, it'll be this weekend. So, you know, if you guys want to come out, it's about $180 a person, 60 something for kids between 6 and 18. It's going to be a good time. It's a great place to come out, you know, fellowship with us. We're going to be doing some workshops. Networking is the biggest thing. And it's a cheap, nice little vacation area. It's a beautiful area. Jamie's got everything laid out. And, you know, you're also helping support Jamie's ministry for the training.
Yeah, OmegaDynamics.com. I just want to give that out. If you're interested, OmegaDynamics.com. You can go there and sign up. It's I know Jamie, he has a heart of gold. He has a heart for ministry, and he has a heart to train people to prepare them for these days in which we live.
Yeah, go to CalicoBuffaloBaseCamp.com for the Warrior Summit Conference. As far as the training, October 6th, 7th, and 8th, we're going to be putting on another active shooter training course. We're going to be doing, of course, the medical and also the SEER, which people really liked the SEER last time, Bob. So this time, we're not going to be doing the baby steps of the active shooter. We're going to be doing more intermediate. So this is all going to be scenario-based training. And we're going to be doing a lot of shooting, quite a bit of shooting. It's all airsoft. It's all to make you think, to put you into situations that, God forbid, you've never been in before, but you may have to. So at least we can show you certain ways to act and how your body will react in certain cases. Look, a lot of people, they go to the range, Bob, and they shoot, you know, 400 or 500 rounds of ammunition, and then they leave, and all they did was they killed a paper target. And unless we're being invaded by paper targets, the real element that you're going to have to deal with are people. People change their minds.
Moving people.
Moving people.
Not standing still.
Hey, not only that, but Bob, if someone was to walk up to you and you pulled your gun on them and you said, stop, get down on the ground, and they keep walking, what are you going to do? Are you going to make space? Are you going to think? Are you going to keep your eyes over your sights, finger on the trigger? Are you going to communicate? Are you going to try and use your presence? Are you going to, you know, continue to create distance, or are you just going to shoot them? This is the problem that officers deal with, that sometimes officers fail because there's not enough training for the police officers on how to do this. When I was a use of force instructor, this was our bread and butter, was to put officers in these situations, recreate these situations for them, and let them walk through it so they can have a little bit of experience in it. But the average civilian doesn't get the experience. And that's one of the things I'm trying to bridge this gap, because with the average civilian, you know, look at USCCA, you know, all these other different gun groups, they take you to the range and you shoot a bunch of rounds. And then they, you know, you get a cool little certification and yay, I showed up that day and I wasted a lot of money on the range. But the lawyers are going to come to you after shooting somebody or stabbing somebody, not after you leaving the range. So just understand that you have to be well versed and well rounded. Look, we're all adults here. Let's talk like adults for a second. If you're really serious about prepping, you probably have food, right? If you're really serious about prepping, you probably have a decent vehicle, right? If you're really serious about prepping, you probably have half a room filled full of Walmart or Academy or Cabela's, right? From the sporting goods section. Let's be honest with ourselves for a second. If you're really, really serious about this, you probably have some sort of radio communication, but how much do you train on your radio? How much do you train on your feet? Are you are you overweight? Are you out of shape? How much, you know, are you eating every day? Are you drinking water every day? Are you smoking nonstop and drinking alcohol nonstop? Let's be adults here for a second. Are you actually training with your firearm? Or are you standing 5 feet from a paper target and just pulling the trigger until all the smoke clears? If we're going to be serious about training and not wasting money, because it gives me a warm and fuzzy this is what happens. This is the predatory tactics that happen. There'll be a horrific scene, and then Fox News will talk about this horrific scene, like an active shooter or you know, terrorist attack. They'll talk about it for 36 hours straight. And then there'll be podcasts that'll come out and they'll talk about it. And then they'll say, buy my X, Y, and Z, buy my X, Y, and Z, and make sure you go to my website and you buy my X, Y, and Z. But yet me and Bob are over here saying, okay, you have stuff you can buy, but do you know how to use it? Do you? Because I've met quite a few of you, and you tell me, and I see it personally. If you don't use it all the time and you're not training on it, then the likely chance is that when your gun jams, you're going to stand there with a stapler in your hand. You don't know what to do with it. And I have been on the range with quite a few civilians, from police officers, security guards, former veterans. And man, you can tell people who are training and people who aren't training. And nothing is more unsafe than going to a range with a bunch of people who very rarely ever train, but they have every type of gun that you can think of, and they don't know how to load the freaking magazine the correct way. And I've watched professional security guards do this. I've seen two professional security guards shoot themselves in the ass and the foot from holstering their weapon, and their finger was still on the trigger when they holstered it. And people want me to go out and say, Doug, teach us all the John Wick, Rambo, cool guy stuff. And I'm trying to tell people, if you do not know the very basics of training, if you don't know the basic fundamentals of marksmanship, go to a guy, not me, go to a guy who can teach you how to shoot correctly. If you don't know the basics of tactics, come out and explore what we're teaching. I will teach you how to literally walk through a door. And as mundane as that sounds, ask anyone who came through the last class. It's more difficult than you think when I put a gun in your hand and I put you under stress, and then I put a person in the room that you may have to chase after, tackle, you may have to detain, you may have to talk to, you may not have to do any of those things, you may just have to talk to them. And I'll put you in scenario after scenario, and this is what will happen, Bob. And I've seen other YouTubers who will do this, and they'll have you attack the one same thing over and over and over again. Every room you go into, you got to shoot the bad guy. And then one day you're going to go into the room and there'll be no bad guy in it. You're going to be looking around, looking for the bad guy to shoot. And then the bad guy comes right behind you through the door and says, hey, what are you doing in my room? And you turn around and you shoot him, because a scar in training is that you have been taught to shoot that guy every single time you see him. You know, this is real life stuff that cops have to deal with. And that's why we're not always the greatest at it, because there's not enough training. You get tired, you get hungry, right? We're putting everything in the most clean environment possible. Guys, let me keep you up for 48 hours and do this drill.
Yeah. One of the worst things is two in the chest, one in the head. You know, everybody knows that one over and over and over and over again. But so you have the guy who's been trained that. So he shoots you two in the chest, one in the head. But the guy's hopped up on meth, and it's like your muscle memory says holster your weapon. And those few seconds that you're in between deciding what to do because you're trained that way, the guy pulls off another round and kills you. The FBI shooting down in the 80s was a classic example of that. Mm-hmm. You know, they shot those guys and shot them, and they were effectively dead people. All that was waiting to happen was for them to bleed out, but they were dead. But they killed, even after they were dead, on their feet, still walking, they managed to kill two more FBI guys. So, you know, that's probably one of the worst training advices I've ever heard. Two in the chest, one in the head. You know, because you shoot them till they're not a threat anymore. I shoot somebody till they're not a threat.
Yeah, I don't really teach. It's not that I don't teach it. Look, I'll do the Mozambique drill all day long, two to the chest, one to the head. You want to hit people on the lights out switch, obviously, especially if they're in body armor. But I would tell you that if you are not going to the gun range, you're not seeking professional advice. Like, you probably, Bob, wouldn't come to me and ask me about, you know, stocks and real estate. Okay. And that's fair. I understand that. But if you're not going out and seeking people professionally, who this is their profession, here's your best chance. And I did this from everyone that was out at the last training event, which, by the way, everyone who showed up at the last training event were awesome. They did fantastic. Some of them were nervous. And by the end of it, everybody was doing great. And we had an awesome time fellowshipping together. We were fellowshipping and training while fellowshipping. It was perfect. It was beautiful. I loved it. Can't wait for October. But this is what I'll tell everybody. Unless you are like 4'11", but if you are 5 foot tall to 7 foot tall, okay, if you just stick your hand out with your gun, if you stick your hand out, you are typically going to hit the average man in America, which is 5'7" to 5'10", somewhere in the mid torso. There's your aiming reference point. Just stick your hand out, get your eyes on your sights, and that's your aiming reference. You don't have to. Some guys will make you think you got to be Navy SEAL, Special Forces operator, trained, qualified, Ranger, sniper. You don't. You just need to have common sense. Common sense and plenty of gun time to learn how to properly defend yourself with a weapon. All right? Just keep pulling the trigger until the threat stops. That's what the lawyers will tell you to do. That's what the lawyers told us to do, because lawyers train cops on the proper way of speaking about these things in court cases. Because if you went to a court after you shot somebody, God forbid, right? You shot somebody and they said, well, Mr. Griswold, when you saw him, what did you intend on doing? Oh, I was going to shoot him. I'm going to shoot him right in the face. Okay. So you're going to murder him. That's what you're saying that you're going to do. No, cops are trained to say this: stop the threat. I was going to fire until I stopped the threat.
You know, it, again, going back to what we talked about off the air, if you asked me that question, whatever the question, if you asked me a question, I'd say, listen, I deemed my life or somebody else's life in danger. I used the force appropriate to stop the danger. And other than that, I want to talk to my lawyer first before I answer any more questions.
Yep. I personally have USCCA.
That's what I have.
Yep. I have their platinum award or platinum member. It's like $78 a month. Me and my wife both have it.
Explain what it is so people know.
So it's different. Your gun laws are different in every state. At least here in Texas, we have freedom. But even so, if you shoot somebody here in Texas, okay, I'll just use my state. You're going to get arrested. Your gun's going to get taken from you. You're going to jail. You're going to be handcuffed. You're going to be fingerprinted. And you are going to either sit in a cell by yourself or you are going to go somewhere else until all these things get worked out. If you have USCCA, you're going to have immediate lawyer representation. So that means you don't say anything. You let your lawyer speak for you, because all you're going to do is you're going to open your mouth, and everybody who wants anything from you, information, exploitation, they're going to take all of it, and it's going to be used against you. I swear to you, in today's day, it will be used against you.
Yeah. You know, James Yeager, you know, he's deceased now, but he used to say, you know, when you shoot somebody, you got three battles to fight. You have the criminal battle. Was it legally justified for you to shoot this person? You have the civil battle. You will be sued. Yep. Somebody's going to come out of the woodwork somewhere and say and sue you. This guy was a church member. He, you know, sang in the choir every week. And then you certain amount of people are going to have emotional problems with it. They just took a life. When you join USCCA, one of the things, your membership card on the back of the card, it has exactly what you said. You pull that card out and you read it. I used what force was necessary to protect my life or the life of somebody else. Other than that, I want to talk to my lawyer before I say anything else, period. That's it. That's all. That's all. Nothing. Well, what time did you shoot him? Nothing else. Nothing else. Do you like chocolate ice cream? Nothing else. Nothing else. It doesn't matter what. Hey, don't I know you? Nothing else. I don't know, sir. I want to talk to my lawyer. I want to talk to my lawyer before. And that's the thing. USCCA, they also provide bonding. So if you do get arrested, and let's just say you have a $50,000 bond, they'll put that bond up. If you get sued, the platinum, I think it's $2 million.
Yes.
They have a $2 million. And I think it's $1 million in lawyer's fees. Carl Rittenhouse went through that, you know, because of the high profile of the case. So, Can't recommend that. You know, I can't recommend it strong enough. USCCA, I think it's .org or .com. But, you know, just.
And there's two or three other companies that you can choose. I went with USCCA because it's the, honestly, it's the easiest thing to do. It took me maybe 3 minutes to go online and fill the entire thing out, pay for it, and I'm done with it.
Yes.
And, you know, if for me, I carry a backup magazine. I carry two knives on me. I carry a flashlight on me. There's my EDC. Some of you guys have asked, you know, what's my EDC? And then I carry that USCCA card on me at all times.
And you know, Doug, I also, the lawyers will tell you, you know, don't carry Punisher grips on your weapon that you use everyday carry. Don't put a half-pound trigger in it. You know, you don't want to make it look like you're Wyatt Earp just looking to shoot somebody. You know, you want to keep the weapon as stock as possible so that that can't be exploited. Because if you put a lighter trigger in there, believe me, they will explode. If you put a combat, you wanted to put a combat trigger in there, huh? Yeah, what do you want? You think you're in combat? You know, if you put the Punisher grips on there, which I see a lot of people with Punisher grips, or at least it used to be popular. I don't think it's as popular now, but, you know, what do you think? You're in a war zone? And the answer might be, yeah, I am in a war zone.
Yeah, I mean,
it might be.
You'll be surprised. It could be you could have accidentally been in the wrong place, wrong time, and you killed the serial rapist of the century who was about to try and kill someone or you, and still you're going to have an attorney who's going to attack your credibility all the way. Know,
back in the, I think it was 80s or 90s, Black Talon bullets. The company had to ban them because some lawyer made a big thing of a African-American who got shot with them. And they were trying to make it look like those were meant specifically to kill, you know, African-American people. As stupid as that sounds, it ended up in court and the company stopped making Black Talon bullets. You know, and they basically, it was a hollow point bullet, like, you know, any other hollow point bullet, but that's how far they'll go to make it sound like, you know, you're a racist. You hated that guy because he's black, didn't you? Because you got those Black Talon bullets in there. So just that's what they'll do when you go to court. And again, with USCCA, you're gonna be protected because you're gonna spend, you could easily spend $1 million getting out of it between civil and criminal. Do you have $1 million?
Yeah, so, the Church of Christ shooting that's right down here in White Settlement, Texas, is about 20, 30 minutes away from me, heading towards Fort Worth. We had an active shooter there. One of the church security members killed the guy after he killed one of the other church security members with a shotgun, which, by the way, he came and scoped that place out multiple times. He was already known to the police to be violent. And, you know, once again, this comes down to how serious are you being prepared? I'll tell you this much, Bob. If I went to a church that said no guns allowed, I'm not going to that church, period.
Yes. Oh, no, no way. I mean, houses of worship today, you know, are prime target. It's just with our security team at our church, I said, when the pastor says, you know, bow your heads and close your eyes, that's the time we open our heads and put them on a swivel. Mm-hmm. Because that's prime time for active shooter. Everybody's got their heads bowed and eyes closed. Best possible scenario for him. I want to be looking around at that time.
And this guy who was there, who killed the active shooter, the three people at the church sued him. The city of White Settlement sued him. And he had to go to a grand jury trial. And it took about, you know, a year or two for all this to play out or more. And he ended up spending over $2 million. But you know what he didn't spend? His own money.
Yeah.
So, you know, it word to the wise, if you got car insurance, you got house insurance, make sure you got gun insurance.
You will be sued. You will have lawyers, and it's going to be expensive. So that's why I carry USCCA with me all the time. Doug, you know, there's so much more we can teach people. This is just a small little sliver of what we can do with radio. But when they come to your course, you know, I get rave reviews on it because they have after action. They can sit down and talk with you. When I was doing this and doing that, and it might not come up during the actual training when they're doing the exercise, but, you know, after you know, after 5 o'clock and everybody sits down and is in relaxing. And we have a, I think it's a relaxing atmosphere where we're at. We have tables outside, picnic tables, people can sit down at and, you know, just talk. That type of information is valuable. And so this is why I'm saying come to the course. We can give a little bit of snippet of information like this. And if people wrote it down, it'll benefit them. But when you go to Warrior Summit in Colorado and you're meeting with people that are teaching this, both spiritual and practical aspects of surviving in these horrible days in which we live, when you come to Active Shooter course in October at our place, you're getting training that supersedes what's in the manual, put it that way. That you have a syllabus and all the stuff is in the syllabus, but when you can ask questions that maybe the syllabus didn't address or the class didn't address to Doug or, you know, any of the other experts that are there, you really come away with such good information. Plus you've put it into practice. You've actually done it. You know what it's like to get sweaty hands trying to use a gun. You got sweat running down. You're forgetting in your eyes. Anybody had you sweat in your eyes and all of a sudden your eyes start burning and you still have to shoot. You know, all that is realistic type training that you can do. And so I just want to encourage people to sign up for those courses. If they go to my website, readymaderesources.com, and go to the top, there's that little icon up there. You know, you can click and it'll take you right to the class where you can sign up for it and do that. And like I said, I think Buffalo Base Camp, Jamie's website, but it's this week, or I know it's on Omega Dynamics also. Plan accordingly.
Yep. And I think that's all we got for right now. So Bob, thanks very much for coming on. Ladies and gentlemen, I hope we were able to answer a lot of questions or at least give you a lot of different things to be thinking about with your preparedness needs. If you got any questions about anything that we've gone over, you can call Bob Griswold at Ready Made Resources, or you can give me an email at AmericanVindictusShow@gmail.com. We're here to help. This is what the body of Christ should be doing for one another. Yes. So if you ever got any questions, guys, hit us up. Unless then, we'll see you next time. Stay frosty. Uh-huh. All stations, all call signs. Prepare for transmission. This is Wrecker Actual. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. End of transmission.